Well, good morning, church. On this Lord's Day, we're going to be in Mark chapter 9, verses 14 and following. Thesis of these sermons is that the most important thing for us as followers of Christ is to continuously see Jesus in a comprehending fashion. So this is Mark 9. The Mount of Transfiguration has just happened, so Jesus and James and John come down the mountain, and this is what they encounter. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And Jesus answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy. And he fell on the ground and he rolled about foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." And immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, he came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." This is the word of God. In the Old Testament, Exodus 16, the children of Israel come to Moses and say, "Well, I wish we were back in Egypt. At least in Egypt we have something to eat. We're starving." And the Lord told Moses, he said, "Tell them that from this day forward until they enter the promised land, every day I will give them manna from heaven." And so every morning some food was on the ground. It was white, had coriander seed, and it was like honey. And they would eat manna for 40 years, manna in the morning. They got enough manna for the day. They received 2 quarts of manna. And the Lord said, "Don't take more than 2 quarts, because if you did, it won't go well with you." And so some of them got greedy and they took more than 2 quarts. And so by the end of the day, as the night grew into more darkness, it had a horrible odor and it was a repulsive experience. And God said, "No, it's only 2 quarts per day." So I look at that story that illustrates God's provision, and I look at this passage. And what I want to say this morning is that the theme of this passage, I hope to show it to you, is yesterday's manna will not do. We live day to day in our relationship with the Lord. Yesterday's manna won't do. God gives us every day our daily bread. He says for us to seek the kingdom of God every day. Now understand this. Our foundation, if you're a believer in Jesus, your foundation is secure. You are in Christ. No one can snatch you from the Father's hand. In fact, I was thinking about Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 says this. He prays that the church of Colossae would be strengthened. And he says, as you give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He's qualified you. He's worked in your heart. He's died on the cross for your sin. He's drawn you unto himself. He has qualified you. Next verse, he said he has delivered us or rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have the forgiveness of our sins. So we are in Christ. Our foundation is fixed. That's not going to be moved. And yet, the Bible says time after time that we are to continuously come to him to be replenished, to be strengthened, to be built up, because we are indeed leaky buckets. We need the replenishment that comes from the power of God. Our foundation is fixed. I was thinking about a hymn this week by a guy named Edward Mote. Yeah, Edward Mote was a cabinet maker who at the age of 51 felt that he should be a pastor. And so was converted at age 19, and he was a master craftsman, became a pastor for 18 years. Then he died, but right before he died, his church, very poor church, said, we want to give you the church building as your inheritance to live off of. And he said, I don't need a building. He says, I want to loan the pulpit. And if I ever quit preaching Jesus, take the pulpit from me. It's a great statement. But he wrote a hymn entitled this. It goes like this. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil, within the Holy of Holies. It's been done. My salvation is accomplished. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. So we're in Christ. And yet the Bible says, on this foundation, out of the reality of Christ, we are to be replenished. Yesterday's manna will not do. There's a dear man in this church that's been very special to me and through the years. He's spoken of. He says, some of us, he says, live in the thrilling days of yesteryear. We always talk about the good old days. Well, if you're young, let me tell you something. The good old days weren't that good. That's just we have selective memory. Let's just be honest there. But it's today. Am I today being replenished by Christ? For example, just a few verses. In 1 Peter, Peter says that we have received an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for us. I mean, that is as secure as you get. There's not going to be a run on the kingdom of heaven bank. It's reserved in heaven for us, who are protected by the power of God through faith. And yet, in the next book, 2 Peter 1, he says this. He said, if you don't add to your faith certain attributes, you have forgotten that you've been cleansed. You've forgotten the mercy of God. And this is what he says. He says, whoever lacks these qualities is nearsighted and he is blind. He's forgotten that he's been cleansed from his sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and your election sure. In other words, yesterday's manna won't do. Yesterday's manna won't do. And he closes the book by saying, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then I think of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Timothy, he's glorying in the goodness of the Lord of what the Lord has done. He says that our salvation has been decreed from the foundation of the earth. He says we're secure in him. And yet, he says in verse 5 of 2 Timothy 1, he says, Timothy, I challenge you, I charge you, I plead with you to stir up the gift that is in you through the laying on of the hands of the elders. Timothy, go for it. Timothy, stir up your gift. We live out of the reality of who we are, but we say yesterday's manna won't do. Are you pursuing the Lord today? Are you saying your kingdom come today in my life? Or in Mark chapter 4, Jesus says three things choke the word of God, making it unfruitful. He says the cares of this life. He says the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things. They choke the word, making it unfruitful. I can add, having horrible brackets in the NCAA tournament will choke the word, making it unfruitful. I'm done. It's over for me. I could care less now. It's terrible. Terrible. I mean, really, it's bad. Anyway, let me just say this. March can be a rough time in our marriage. Because I like to watch basketball, and my wife, if she hears a basketball bouncing, she falls asleep. I mean, it's like Ambien on steroids for her. Boom, she's out. So I told her last night, I said, I'm done. She said, hallelujah, praise the Lord. So anyway, yesterday's manna will not do. Or Ephesians 5, Paul says, continuously be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I thought about this hymn. This is the most famous hymn in Wales. In fact, what's crazy, they will sing this hymn at rugby games in Wales, in this unchurched land. But they had this rich hymn, and it goes like this. You know it. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but you are mighty. Hold me with your powerful hand. Bread of heaven. See, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain where the healing waters flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar, you know, Old Testament, being led at day with a cloud, at night with a fire pillar. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. That's it. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. So you see, to me, in this passage, hope to show you, the disciples were operating because of the thrilling day of yesteryear. They weren't in the present tense reality of seeking Christ. It says that they were arguing about why they couldn't heal the boy. It says that Jesus cried out to these disciples, faithless generation, faithless generation. He says, how much longer am I going to be with you till you get it? And then it says that they ask him privately, why couldn't we do this? And Jesus says, you weren't praying. You weren't really looking to me. You were operating in your own giftedness. I think that's what he's saying. And what this passage says to me is, yesterday's manna will not do. So I want to go through and pick out some things and talk about how to avoid the yesterday manna mindset. How to understand that yesterday's manna will not do. The very first thing. This is just to say it to ourselves. Yesterday's manna will not do. It's the present tense reality of Christ and what he's done for us today. What is God calling me to do today? In Mark chapter 6, let me read this account. Starting in verse 11, it says this. Jesus says, I'm going to send you out, my disciples, and if you go to any place that doesn't receive you, and doesn't listen to you when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. This day, give us this day what we need. Give us the power this day to walk in the way of Christ. Help us to seek first the kingdom of God this day. That's the foundation. Number two, I must understand this formula. When I have this in mind, I am needy. Christ is all powerful. Therefore, I pursue him. I seek him. I love the scripture. I pray. I come to him. I bring my needs to him. Then I'm a seeker. I was reading an interview this week in a national magazine about a man who's one of the people nominated for an Academy Award. I didn't really know much about him, but they asked him this question: what is your greatest weakness? His response: overthinking. Is that weird? I mean, really? That's your biggest weakness? Let's think about this. Let's think of the seven deadly sins from the Middle Ages. Pride. Do you ever want to be perceived as better than or more attractive than or more with it than that person? Yeah. Okay, you have pride. How about greed? Let's go through the list. Greed. Do you ever overeat, maybe? Or do you ever spend money on something you don't really need just for yourself? Yeah, then you're greedy. How about wrath, which means explosive anger? Do you ever just lose your temper? Well, yeah, then you have the sin of... I lost my temper coming to church this morning. I did. Somebody pulled in on me, some guy in a souped up car, and pulled in, and I blew my horn at him. That's all I did. I didn't do anything about that. I wanted to do more, but I did not. That's why I don't have Christian bumper stickers. I just don't do that. I did. How about lust? Do you ever have thoughts about someone that's not your spouse? Yeah, then you're lustful. How about envy? We just talked about the 10th commandment. Do you ever want something that's not yours? And we said, yeah, then you have envy problems. How about, sloth. How about sloth? Are you ever lazy? Oh, yeah. I was in a small group one time, and the question was, this is a stupid question. Small groups have stupid questions sometimes. So what is one of your faults? And the person in my group said, well, my biggest thought is, I care too much. And I went, really? Holy, holy, holy. I mean, come on. See, I am a person of need. I'm broken. I need the reality and the empowerment of Jesus. When I had this formula, I am broken, I have need, and he is all powerful, I seek him. But when I start living on yesterday's manna and what happened in the thrilling days of yesteryear, I don't. So let's see what happened to these disciples. Number three is the it factor. I was talking to somebody recently, and I was speaking of a young person that I know and really admire, and I said to them, he has the it factor. He presents himself well. He speaks well. He has social graces. He has great speech. So he's got it together. I've heard people say about other people, if we could just get that person into an interview, they will be hired because they've got it. See, they've got it. There are a lot of people here that you've got it. You're blessed. You've got some economic viability. You present yourself well. You're fairly attractive. I mean, you've got it. See, the problem is when we start thinking that we really do have it, nobody has it. Nobody has it. We need grace. This is what happened to the disciples, I believe. Mark chapter 6. Jesus says, I want you to go throughout the area preaching the gospel of repentance. Telling them that people should repent of their sins. And as you do that, I want you, 12, to cast out demons and to heal people. They said, thank you, teacher. And they go outside and they look at each other. Did you hear what he said? He wants us to do what he does. You've got to be kidding me. I'm going to fall flat on my face. I don't have the power and the anointing this great teacher has. And then they go out and they do what Jesus tells them to do. They say, repent, and they say, you must believe in the reality of the coming kingdom. And we're going to pray to cast out demons, and we're going to ask people to be healed. You know what? Demons were cast out, and people were healed. And they go, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Step one. Step two. They continued doing it. And they started to say to themselves, you know, it's really good to be in partnership with the teacher. This is really pretty cool. Step three is they said, you know, we've got it. We've got it. We can do this. We can. And so you come to Mark chapter 9, and here's this boy. And they pull Jesus aside, and they said, why couldn't we do this? He says, because you're not praying. You're not praying. You think it's all dependent upon you. You're not looking to me. And I look at that and I go, it's easy to get there. And I just say to you, do you understand your desperate need for Christ? in your marriage, your parenting, your relationships, your job, you need the presence of Jesus. You never get over that need. And when you start thinking as a parent or a spouse or a friend, you know, I've got it. I should write a book on how to be a good parent. Watch out. Watch out. I should write a book on how to be a good husband, man. I'm watch 1 Corinthians 10. Pride goes before the fall, basically. So I look at this passage. I'm struck by this statement. They come down the mountain, and it says that the people were arguing, the disciples were arguing, the scribes were arguing, why can't this guy be healed? And immediately all the crowd, when they saw Jesus, they were greatly amazed. And they ran up to him and greeted him. One version says they were overwhelmed with awe. And some people say, well, is it because his face was still glowing from the Mount of Transfiguration? I don't think so. I think when Jesus enters the scene, there is a majesty and a glory and a peace and a purpose that just shines. I need the majesty and the purpose and the presence of Jesus to shine in my life. I need to stand amazed in his presence. I need to be overwhelmed with awe because of the greatness and the majesty and the goodness of Christ. That will keep me from saying, I'm fine with yesterday's manna. No, I need today's manna. I need today's presence. Number four, as we go through this, it says that in this account, there was a barrier that was hit, a little boy that couldn't be healed, a barrier. And so the barrier was hit, and I'm going to look at two responses. One response was the disciples. They hit a barrier. Know what happened? They started arguing among themselves and with the scribes. Why can't we do this? What's going on? Well, you did this, you did that. They started, I think, casting blame. They started saying this, they started saying that. So you hit a barrier. You start casting blame. You start looking at other people. You start saying, it's not my fault. The other response is the father. You think about it, being a dad. You've had a child that all of his life has been seized with disorders. And he throws himself into the fire. And so the father comes to him and says, Lord, if you're able, please help us. I love that, help us. And Jesus says, what do you mean if? It's a very gentle statement, very gentle statement. What do you mean if? Really, the issue is, if you believe, you invite me in. Then the father has this statement, which is my prayer often. Lord, I believe, but help my what? Unbelief. And Lord, you're a great teacher. You do miracles. He said this before the cross, before the empty tomb, before the ascension, before we know him to be eternally God. He didn't get that. We do. But I've got to tell you, I hit a barrier. Whether it's family, whether it's job, whether it's relationships, whether it's health, I hit a barrier, and my prayer is, Lord, I believe, but please, by your grace, help my unbelief. Help me to take a step of obedience to you. Help me take the step of faith. You're going to hit a barrier this week, probably, very soon. You hit barriers all the time. Life is filled with barriers. This is a hard life. Heaven awaits. I was thinking the other day that people say, well, life is very hard and tedious and you get old and then you die. We say life can be very hard and tedious and difficult. And yet, there's a Heavenly Father that watches over us. And yes, our body will waste away and we will die, but heaven awaits. See the different perspective. I mean, good grief. That's why the Bible says we should be overflowing with thanksgiving. And I have to confess, I often am not. Overflowing. I read the other day about a guy who came back from the Middle East and he had lost both of his legs. And he was joyful and gracious. And somebody came to him and said, I can't believe you're so joyful with no legs. He said, I can't believe you're so negative with two healthy legs. See? It's your perspective. Do you really trust that there is a glorious Father who watches over you? And when you die, you go to heaven. Perspective. Number five. I believe that when you read this and read the attendant stories, that the source of power, focus, and energy is always found in the reality of who Jesus is for us on the cross. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends out 72 in pairs. And they come back, and this is what the scripture says. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Now that is incredible. You're going, wow, wow. Next verse. Nevertheless, Jesus says, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now, I read this. The locus of power and joy and purpose is glorying primarily in the cross. We thank God for everything, but primarily behold the greatness of the cross, the shed blood of Jesus that allows my name to be written in heaven, that allows me to say my sins are forgiven. I have the hope. Rejoice in that. Be glad in that. Today. Don't live on yesterday's manna. Today. What is God asking me to do? Today. To go forward. Today. Let us live that way. Easter's in 3 weeks. Let us be anticipating God's goodness. And what does the Lord want you to do today? Today. Yesterday's manna. Today. As I depend upon him and look to him and trust him. Lord, we thank you for today. And we pray as we look at this text that we would be amazed at the greatness of Christ. These people were amazed at the greatness of Jesus and the serenity and the power and the purpose of you, Almighty Christ, before they understood that you were Almighty God who made the heavens and the earth. How much more should we be thunderstruck and amazed when we speak your name? Help us, Lord. Help us when we hit barriers to not cast blame or to point fingers, but to look to you. Help us to be in league with this dear dad who cried out, Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Just help me. Help us to understand that the disciples could not do what they were asked to do because they weren't praying. They just weren't looking to you. They weren't seeking you. So Lord, this day may we seek you. And this day may you give us the Holy Spirit and power. And this day may your name be honored. So show us what we're to do today. Forgive us. Especially those of us who are a little bit older, forgive us for living in the thrilling days of yesteryear when we're called to live today on this day in March of 2023 as we seek you, as we love the coming generations, as we pray for the growth of your kingdom. So we do that now in Jesus' name. Amen.